If we have time for that, that'd be great. Let me first just say it's been a wonderful day. We were out in several schools and got to meet a lot of folks here in the community and in Madison. And I got to say, Ken has been a terrific host in squiring me around. Everyone's just been so hospitable and wonderful and thoughtful and kind. And you have to understand, I'm from the East Coast, so I'm quite unaccustomed to do that. but it's really been a terrific day, and I appreciate that. I want to thank Arlene Silvera, the president of the school board, for having me here and for setting this up in terms of the process in such a delightful way. As I said, I really enjoy getting out into schools. It's all about the students. It's all about the magic that happens in the classroom. And so for us, as part of the process of the selection process for superintendent, to be able to visit schools and see what's happening at the ground level was really just terrific. So I appreciate that. Just briefly about myself and my professional background, I started my career working in at the university level, and then, as I mentioned to several of you, in the early 1990s, I was a teacher in East St. Louis, Illinois. And if you know East St. Louis, it is a challenging environment. It is there's a lot of poverty, a good bit of crime, and I worked in a small alternative high school there and taught English and anatomy and physical education and anything else that they wanted me to teach there. And what I found was the children had very difficult circumstances that they came from. Their lives were outside of school, were somewhat chaotic. There was a lot of dysfunction in the environment. But when you got to them and when you were able to eliminate some of those distractions and really get them engaged in the learning process, they were brilliant. They were smart kids. They wanted to learn. They loved learning, and they could really engage in the process. And that taught me a lot, and being a teacher there, and really, it was a life-changing experience for me. Since that time, I have been involved with public education, and most recently with the Boston Public Schools for about the last 10 years. I spent most of that time as the budget director for the Boston Public Schools, and as the budget director, it was really about, for me, aligning our resources to our educational mission to make sure that every dollar and every dime was aligned to our educational mission and went to support student achievement. So I worked under the superintendency of Tom Paysant in Boston, and for those of you who may know, Tom is a wonderful educator and a very successful superintendent, and in fact, so much so that in 2006, the Boston Public Schools won the Broad Prize for urban education, which signaled us as being one of the top urban public school systems in the nation. We were very proud of that. I was very proud of that. And the contributions that were made and the progress that was made was really pretty remarkable. And I learned a lot from that experience. I learned a lot from Tom and others in the Boston Public Schools. And I think it's really shaped the way that I think about public education. I'm currently the chief operating officer for the Boston Public Schools, so I'm in charge of most of the non-academic areas, facilities, transportation, food services, safety, human resources. But I've really tried to bring that same ethos to the operations division in Boston around making sure the thinking is about enabling and supporting student achievement and student learning. So even if you're the director of transportation or the director of facilities, and yes, you have to make sure the buses run on time and the buildings are clean, but you're also doing that job while thinking about the kids and thinking about instruction and thinking about teaching and learning and how we improve student achievement. I have to say, Madison, from what I know of it and what I've learned from it, really does remind me a lot of Boston in a lot of different ways. The intellectual energy here is tremendous, and I've seen that today in the schools and in the central office and the management team. It's been just remarkable. I know there's a lot of cultural resources represented by many of you here today. And the one thing that I think is really important and a lot like Boston is what I sense is an unwavering commitment to excellence in public education. And what a wonderful thing to bring for a community to bring to a public school system, and I'm just delighted to see that and hear that. My wife is from the Midwest. We have two small children, James, who's 8, and Ryan, who's 5. We are excited about the prospect of potentially moving here to Madison and making it our home. It's a delightful community. It really is. I've had a wonderful experience in meeting all the folks that I've met here. And we can really envision making a home here. And one of the things we're really excited about is the ability to put, to bring our children and to make it our home and have our children in the public schools here in Madison. So that's really exciting. We want what's best for our children. We want what's best for all children. And we want what I think everyone else wants who's a parent, and that is the best possible education for your own children and for all children. So we're excited about that. I do want to say, you know, I spent a lot of the day today sort of listening, and I hope to listen more to your questions and your thoughts as we move through this process this evening. But that's if you select me, if the board selects me as their next superintendent, that's what I plan on doing more of, listening and charting a course together for the future of the Madison Metropolitan School District, because I think that's enormously important that we have partnerships, that we have community engaged, that we have parents and others engaged in the learning process and the education process for our kids. I want to thank Arlene for the wonderful work that she's done, and the rest of the board, Lori and others who may be here, and also Carol's here. Yeah, thank you for the work they've done. Art Rainwater, I met with this morning. I had breakfast with him, and just the wonderful leadership that he's brought to the district for the past 10 plus years. What he's done and what they have done is create a school district that has been successful. And so it's not, if you honor me with the selection of being your next superintendent, it's not a turnaround situation. It's not a start from scratch situation. It's really about a situation of building on success. So I'm very excited about that prospect. And simply put, I'd be delighted to be your next superintendent, to work with the very talented faculty and staff in the Madison Metropolitan School District, to work with this dedicated board who has just done terrific work, to work with all of you, the community, the parents, and others, and to sustain and accelerate the work that's happened to improve student achievements, to close the achievement gap, and together to create an even brighter tomorrow. So thank you for the opportunity to give a brief statement, and I'd be glad to take your questions.
We would just ask everybody to ask one question per person. So. Barbara, go ahead. I'll let you know this.
Obviously, when I introduced myself, I acknowledged that I was part of a special ed group. I'm also part of a parent group, a Madison Partners for Inclusive Education. And I know that students who have significant disabilities in the Boston schools they're placed in oftentimes segregated settings. What I'm curious about is what your philosophy is in educating students with significant disabilities, whether you subscribe to the segregated model or inclusionary model.
Thank you. So we do have several schools in Boston that employ the inclusion model. The O'Hearn School was one, the Mason, and several others. I think it's been enormously successful where we've done it in Boston. And I spent the better part of the afternoon with the senior management team from the school district. And I was impressed, and I was really glad to hear about the success that Madison has had with inclusion. I actually worked at Children's Hospital for a short period of time at an institute called the Institute for Community Inclusion. So I'm a very strong supporter of inclusive education. I think it can work very well with the right supports and the right professional development and the right structure. So I'm interested to take a closer look at what you're doing here, because it seems like absolutely the right direction to be going in, and I'm just excited to hear more about it and the success that it appears that you've had here with inclusion.
Thank you.
Sure. You indicated that you want to build on the success of the school district, and it's not really a turnaround situation, but when we look at the catastrophic failure and dropout rates for African American children in the district, I just wonder what you'll do to address that issue.
Sure. Well, I think it's a very important issue, first of all, and I mentioned earlier, it's an important issue that I think a lot of school districts are grappling with across the country, Boston being certainly one of them. I'm on the Achievement Gap, Closing the Achievement Gap Committee in Boston. We focus on a couple of different areas, certainly differentiating instruction for all of our teachers so that they're able to work with students of different abilities and backgrounds and perspectives and incomes in the same classroom and programs, programmatic distinctions in the same classrooms. We've also focused on cultural proficiency of our staff and making sure that that all of our teachers understand where all of our students are coming from and therefore can better teach them. I think I absolutely need to take a closer look at the root causes and get a little bit more in depth in terms of the data of the achievement gap here in Madison. But I was encouraged when I saw at least one data point, which is the graduation rate, high school graduation rate, which is, I believe, in the low 90s for all students. But I also saw a great deal of progress in terms of closing the racial achievement gap in high school graduation rates. So I asked some of the staff today to give me a sense of what are some of the strategies that they've put in place to make sure that's happening, and what are some of the strategies that we would need to do in the future to ensure that continues. And they had some good thoughts and some good ideas. And I think it's a matter of, coming in, listening to what folks think are the right ways to go for this particular community in this particular context. But I think those two areas that I talked about focusing on in Boston may be areas to focus on here in Madison as well.
What are you most proud of?
What am I most proud of? Mm-hmm. I'm most proud of my service as a teacher. Was certainly one of the highlights of my career to date. When I think about my career and my days with the Boston Public Schools, I'm most proud of what I mentioned before, which is the ability to create the culture within the Boston Public Schools and to make sure that whether you are a teacher or whether you're a janitor or whether you're a bus driver or whether you're someone in the central office, that every day as you do your job and try to do your job well, what you're thinking about in doing that job is how you support and enable academic achievement. And so that's what I'm most proud of, is that we've really created a culture in Boston that is attentive to that. And I think you've got a similar culture here in Madison, but that's an area that I'd love to continue to focus on.
There's been a growing vocal minority that would like to see financial education brought into the classrooms. What experience, if any, do you have in bringing financial literacy into the classroom?
Well, I don't have a lot of direct experience with bringing financial literacy into the classroom, but I think it's a good idea. I mean, I think that to the extent that we educate students well in all aspects of the curriculum and all aspects of life, then we're doing our job well. I was the budget director for the Boston Public Schools for 8 years, so I certainly am in favor of making sure that students are aware and understand how the financial realities of our world and of their individual worlds. So I think it's something that we should certainly take a look at, and something that I would certainly be open to considering.
In some school districts in Wisconsin, such as in Appleton, they have both heterogeneous models where those who want to be in non-stratified classes, they can, and they also have options for gifted classes, gifted separate education, where there's maybe a pullout, or they meet with the gifted coordinator once a week. And they also have charter models where it's more accelerated. Do you believe that it's possible to have both models, or do you think that it really has to be one philosophy, such as what we have here?
I don't necessarily believe it has to be one philosophy or another. I think the challenge and the opportunity in Madison is to make sure that we continue to educate all students well. And I think there, you see a growing diversity, both of race, of income, of programmatic distinction, special education, English language learners. And I think the challenge, really, and the opportunity, is to say that these aren't separate and conflicting goals. That educating all students and educating all students well is the one goal that we have for all children, and that we can do that without it being a zero sum game or this for that.
Madison has a good reputation for working with community organizations with our children in the school district. What do you think about that, and would you support it?
I think it's absolutely vital, and I think it's enormously important. And it's one of the things that makes Madison a very attractive place to be considered for the next superintendent. There are enormous community resources and community assets here that I think would be the envy of many other urban school districts. I've always thought that having the community engaged in the education process and in public education was one of the most vitally important things that we can do. You've got to have community partnerships, you've got to have the parents, and you've got to have that input and support in order for us to be successful. We've done a lot in Boston to ensure that we had community input and community support, but we can always do more. And I think the fact that so many of you are here tonight from the community and from different organizations within the community is a real testament to the interest and the commitment to public education in Madison, and I'm just excited to see it.
One of those other community resources is the university within the town. You said that you started your career in the university as well. So could you talk a little bit about your philosophy and your experience in building bridges between universities and schools and P16 collaboratives?
Sure. Obviously, in Boston, we have a number of universities. We have worked hard to create partnerships with those universities. I think that the challenge is to create those partnerships in ways that are productive and support student achievement for all kids. And one of the things that you sometimes find is that there's a small program over here and a small program over here, and it's not aligned and it's not coordinated. And to the extent that you can coordinate those efforts and make sure that those efforts are all working toward the same goal or in the same direction, I think it can be even more productive and useful. So, you know, we've very honestly struggled with making sure that we have the appropriate coordination because we have so many universities in Boston. But I think, again, I think it's one of the real assets for the Madison community is that the university is right here, the flagship university is right here, that your School of Education, which has done such great work, in terms of education leadership nationally, is right here in our backyard, and that there's a willingness that I've heard about and I think is reinforced by your presence here today to work with and in the Madison School District so that those assets are used well and those partnerships are made well.
I have heard you say that you taught in East St. Louis.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
I actually lived there for 11 years of my elementary years. Three brothers were born there as well. Could you reiterate again how your experience there as a teacher serves you now? Do you see any similarities, with East St. Louis, Boston? You know, it's so bad now in East St. Louis that, you want to leave out of there. You want to get out of there in a hurry. So
yep.
Was that the case? Or
yes, it was. Yes, it was. It was a very difficult time. It was right after Jonathan Kozol wrote his book Savage Inequalities that one of the chapters profiles in East St. Louis, Illinois, and it was a very challenging time. And the lives of the students that I served and that I taught were very challenging, very dysfunctional, very chaotic. But again, what I saw was if you could reach out to them, if you could make that connection. And these were students who had dropped out or been kicked out of the traditional public school system because they were in this alternative program. So if you could make that connection, it really could set them on a path toward, a couple of my students the year that I was there went on to, to community college and beyond. But it was an important experience for me. I had a very difficult experience there as well. One of my students, actually my brightest student, a young man by the name of David, took his own life the year that I was there, in the late spring of that year. And again, he was the best student I've ever had, the brightest student that I've ever had. And I think, I don't know, no one ever knows why someone does that, but I think part of it was he didn't see a future. He knew how bright he was, he knew how smart he was, but he didn't see a way out, he didn't have hope. And I do carry that with me. I carry that with me every day. And part of why I do what I do, part of why I am so interested in public education and making sure that students achieve is because I don't want to ever lose another student like that. I want to make sure we are attentive to every student's need and make sure that every student can be successful. Sir?
I'm sure you've been familiarized with the annual financial grappling of board and possibly the school budget. In this day and age with No Child Left Behind and its unfunded mandates, et cetera, et cetera, but actually I'm interested in your views on how you think the fine arts, where do they belong in the curriculum, and how do we have a lot going on here in Madison relative to the fine arts, not the East Wood, or Symphony Orchestra, theaters, and things.
Yes. Absolutely. I'm a very big believer in you do have to be attentive to the fundamentals. You do have to be attentive to the basics. You have to have reading and writing and arithmetic, and you do have to be attentive to those, not least of which, as you referenced, we're assessed on that. And, you know, you have to make your adequate yearly progress under our accountability system. But I'm a huge believer in the arts, in music, and in other physical education, wellness, athletics, sports, all of those things that are going to engage students, all those things that are going to enhance students, not only their education, but also their lives. So I'm a huge believer in the cultural aspects and the cultural enrichment as an important part of a student's education. So I know there's been budget challenges. I know there probably will continue to be budget challenges. But as I said before, it's really about aligning the resources to the educational mission of the school district and other schools. And so you know, I think you have to prioritize. You have to make sure that you put resources toward what's important, and I think that's one of the things that's very important.
Art Rainwater said that one of the most important things when looking for a new candidate was to understand the culture of Madison and the Madison School District. How are you going about that, learning about Madison, and how do you think you'll be able to adapt to the Madison culture?
That's a good question. I'm trying to listen as much as I can. I'm trying to come in and know that I don't know much about the culture, know that I don't know much about the city. I like what I've seen. I like what I've heard. I like what people have told me. And I understand there to be a great number of assets. But I'm going to have to listen. And I'm going to have if I'm chosen as the next superintendent, I'm going to have to come in and, as my superintendent in Boston, Dr. Johnson, said, hit the ground listening. Come in and really, you know, get in and really get a good sense of what the culture is and make sure that the improvements that we would put in place are within that context, because that's enormously important.
I have two questions. First, what are your views on bilingual education? And second, your views on after-school programming?
Okay. We in Massachusetts, we had a ballot initiative that's not unlike what happened in California, where all instruction for bilingual students is to be in English. I'm not convinced that's exactly the right way to go. I think that there should be a balance, and there needs to be a balance between native language instruction and English instruction. I think the goal of bilingual education needs to be to transition students from bilingual education into regular education. As one bilingual teacher who I saw today said, my job is to get myself out of my job. It's to transition kids out of my classroom into the regular education setting. But I think in order to do that most effectively, I think it does sometimes require having some level of native language instruction as a support as you transition students into the regular education classroom. But I think it's important, and I think it's important to have the right personnel and resources and supports in place so that students can make that transition seamlessly, quickly, and appropriately. After-school programs, I think, are an important part, I think, of a lot of certainly urban school districts. You know, parents are often today working, often two parents are working two jobs, and I think both as an enrichment activity, but also as just part of the reality of modern day life, I think after-school programs can be very important. What I think you have to do is make sure that the after-school program is aligned and supports the curriculum that you have during the day, so that it's not just a separate activity that's outside of the school day and doesn't comport with the school day, but that it reinforces what students are learning during the school day, as well as other enrichment activities and physical activities and hopefully a good snack in there, that sort of thing as well. Sir,
it's a two-part question. What kind of resources do you currently allocate toward equal employment opportunity and affirmative action within your current school district? Mm-hmm. And how will you seek to recruit and diversify the Madison Metropolitan School District?
In the Boston Public Schools, we have an equity office. We have, I think it's four full-time equivalent positions that work on issues of diversity and equity, but also equity from a broad perspective. So it's not just necessarily racial diversity, but it's also folks with disabilities and other perspectives as well. I think it's enormously important to have a diverse workforce. I think it's enormously important to have various and different perspectives, particularly when you're an education organization, when you're a learning organization. And I think it's really important for us to model for students when you've got a district that's seeing increasing diversity, that we have a teaching force that is reflective of that diversity. And again, I think diversity can be a huge value and a huge asset. And it is something that I'm very feel very strongly about. So I would certainly pursue having a diverse workforce and making sure that it is reflective of the increasing diversity of the Madison Metropolitan School District.
Sir, if you would please describe how you see your role as a superintendent in relationship with Board of Education in the unions?
Well, I think the superintendent's job, as I see it, the board's job is to set policy and direction and vision, and I think the superintendent's job is to work with the board to implement those policies, to also, and perhaps that process is a bit iterative, and that the superintendent can also help provide the vision or co-create the vision with the board. In terms of the unions, I think it's the teachers are in an educational organization. The teachers are your biggest asset. They are the workforce where the magic happens in the classroom. And those are the folks that you need to work closely with. You need to listen to them because they know what's happening. They know what's going on. At the same time, you have to make sure that they have the professional development that they need, that they have the accountability system that is in place to ensure that they're doing their job well. But I think you need to listen to them. I think you have to honor their and respect their service and their knowledge and their expertise. And again, probably co-creating the work that we do together.
You've talked a lot about professional development in Boston. Have you ever had issues that professional development, funds for professional development, were often on the chopping block as non-essentials? And if so, how have you dealt with them?
Yes, we did a study about 2 years ago, and from an all funds budget of about $800 plus million. About $850 million from all funds, from general fund and from other revenue sources. We spent about $42 million on professional development. And that's sort of professional development defined broadly and largely, including teacher time. So I think, again, part of it is about, going back to the question before, is about alignment and making sure that investment, which is often, in many school districts, larger than you might think, but that investment is used well, and that investment is aligned to what the needs of the district are, the priorities of the district and the board, so that you're really using those resources well, and that you get a good return on that investment. So, we have certainly faced budgetary challenges in Boston. In my tenure as the budget director there, we had a very difficult year in 2004. We had a fairly substantial budget cut at that point in time. And I think a lot of things were on the chopping block. But again, even in limited resource situations, it's about priorities, and it's about how you align the resources to the educational mission, and it's about making sure that you use the dollars that you have well. Madison spends more than $10,000 a year annually on each student, so it's not an insubstantial amount of money. It's about how do you maximize those dollars and make sure that every dollar and every dime is going to support and enable student achievement.
We have time for one more question.
I guess my question is, what's your philosophy in terms of curriculum and teachers? Do you follow the Moses and the tablets coming down, or do you sort of, you know, say we hire the best teachers and let them do their thing?
Is that the only two choices?
Feel free to ad lib, yeah.
I guess I advocate for somewhere in between. I think it's important in a district where you have high mobility to have some consistency in curriculum and some consistency. So if a student moves from school A to school B to school C, that there is some consistency across the curriculum. I also think that teachers are an enormous resource, and you want to ensure that they can still use their creativity and their expertise well within the framework of that consistency. So I guess I am somewhere in between.
Thank you, Dr.
Thank you.
What we're going to do now, for those, there are a number of people